10 days.
Till
scandal.
Scandal.
What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know.
Where were they?
I don't know. You know, like
this I forgot where they were.
She was just kidnapped.
Who kidnapped her?
We don't know.
Wait a minute. She was kidnapped?
Remember Jake was there and...
Jake kidnapped her.
No, Jake went to go get... went to change clothes, went to do something, walked into her room and came back. The door was open. The wine glass was broken and she was gone.
They were going to have their fake relationship and they're going to have fake sex and they're going to have fake wine or something. Or no, real wine.
But. Yeah, I don't remember.
Still the best line of any TV show I've ever heard when he's walking in the...
Oh, and he's on the phone.
Hey, yeah, how you doing? No, I can't come on. I'm working right now. He's going to kill somebody.
He is. He's going to... Go ahead.
So are you recording in here as a backup or as a whatever?
Yeah, whatever. No, okay. Whatever.
I've got it recorded in there, so...
And do you have a card?
Uh-huh. It's recording straight to a card.
It is? Okay, we're on then. Okay, we're on. We're on.
No, we don't have a backup.
Well, you should record a backup. You saw it record a backup.
See? Thank you.
Well, did you fix the line so it works on a backup?
It'll be the same as before. It'll be your same crappy podcast before.
Well, no. I know that, but I don't know how to get back to those same crappy settings. Geez. Hang on.
I'm going to get another Coke.
You going to run a backup in there? He's going to run a backup in there.
Maybe some lunch. Well, you know I don't take to name calling very well.
That is so funny, that especially that you. What? Who? What?
What? That I'm so sensitive to
what
it?
He said. No, what he said about you.
No, but it's probably true. But I don't think he knows that we used to be us.
Yeah, used to be. That's right.
Shut up. God bless.
Yeah, that's right.
Addie, how much can you hear? All of it?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, you should put music on.
What?
There's going to be lots of bad words.
What do you mean?
God knows what Pat will say.
Oh, that's true. So, Pat, you've been working? You've been working.
All morning, yeah.
All morning, yeah, okay. You have a very accusatorial tone to your natural speech pattern. Do you know that?
No. You don't say.
And you're from Tennessee?
Yeah, Tennessee.
Absolutely no accent whatsoever.
No, no, no southern
accent. You've been in New York
for how long? Well, I've been there since 2006, but I never had a southern accent.
Never?
Never.
I didn't think that was possible.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people there like that. There's maybe 15 to 20% that leave and don't have it.
Really?
I'd say so.
Is it like northern Tennessee? No 10?
Yeah.
Instead of so 10?
It's like no 10, yeah. No, yeah, the northern 10%. No, I'm from Southeast Tennessee. Everybody there talks like very southern. And you know what? I just never modeled it. My parents talk that way. My parents talk very country.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah, they're all the same way.
Yep.
Just like you.
Just like my parents.
You're the odd duck?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the running theme on our podcast is that Jess and I both believe that we were
adopted,
but we were born of aliens and dropped into the families that we ended up with.
Yeah, I'm not willing to go that far, but
that's true.
Interesting.
No,
I
know you think that.
I don't
want to
speak that on your behalf, but right.
You guys feel very alien from your families.
I feel very alien to my family. She's surrounded by her family.
No, I mean, I know you want to say that, but I promise that you have a lot of. I've never met your parents, but.
I have a lot of similarities.
You have a lot of similarities. Maybe coping mechanisms is where I would go.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that's below the belt.
I was just talking
your
about...
Your family drinks, chick. Let's just get it out.
I was just talking about an accent. They don't. I don't have an accent. That's
Nobody
what I
has
was
an accent
about.
Where you're from. That's like the
sure
like Columbus,
do.
Ohio. No, like
well,
isn't
not
that
Columbus,
the land?
Ohio. Well, my mom had a Cherokee. Hey, she had kind of a southern little southern Ohio.
I don't think that's southern.
That sounds like a sheriff from Louisiana.
Let's do this.
Okay, let's do this. Well, it's 4 in the morning in the back of the Beamer. Now, mama,
what's up? Let's do this.
Oh, wow. Well, it's 4 in the morning in the back of the Beamer. Now, mama, what's up? I know that you're receiving, but you can't
Welcome
be frightened when it comes to this.
Podcast.
But down your back cheeks, give me a kiss. I got a castle in the
Paris,
got a crib in the city. I
said, chicks,
to
get give me a kiss,
nice,
right?
Is that what he said?
I think so.
I think so.
That's Bob Schneider. I'm Chick McGee. That's Jess. Hi, Jess.
Hey.
And we're cranking them out. We're keeping up with our New Year's resolution. One or two podcasts at least a week.
One. One. Stop telling people. Just one.
And our guest this week, a guest we wanted to have on many times, but I don't know why we haven't, and it just dawned on us both this morning. It's comedian Pat Dixon. Hi, Pat.
Yeah, hey. Yeah.
Pat lives in New York. He's from Tennessee, and we were talking about his non-accent. Or am I being the ugly, what do you call it? Well, you call people who make assumptions of European, the ugly American.
Oh, right.
So what would you call a guy from Ohio who makes an assumption that, well, if you're from Tennessee, you're going to talk like this, woo, Rocky Top.
You know, everybody down there would call you a Yankee, and they are kind of, they, look, I'm not going to take up for everybody down south, you know, I mean, there's
but,
a reason I don't talk
in.
That way.
That's
you know?
Right, yeah, you're going to step in and say, hey, wait a minute, what's the deal?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, a lot of the, I remember telling, I was talking to Tim Wilson, who, you know, whatever, and I said, I don't want to sound like a, you know, self-hating Southerner or anything. Well, I might be a self-hating Southerner myself.
Yeah.
He came out with that. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, he had that.
I would agree with that.
He disagreed with a lot of what the South, but sounded the part.
Oh yeah, exactly.
You know, so the accent doesn't always tell the tale, but you know, he was a different guy in a lot of ways. But I didn't mean to take it in that direction. You know.
Yeah, there's definitely a stereotype when you hear a male with a Southern accent as opposed to a female. There's something like. Do you guys find that attractive? A Southern accent on a woman.
You, Chick?
At the time you did. You were banging
at the time
a girl
I did,
for a
yeah.
long time that had one.
You know,
sorry.
You know what?
Easy.
Let's be honest. It depends on what she's saying. You
right,
know?
Okay.
Well,
yeah, there,
no,
that's totally
I don't
true.
Know who did it, but there's a famous comedic, I'm not sure who, like, it's not Carlin, but it's somebody like that who said, when a Southern girl tells you to go to hell, you kind of want to go, right? Go to hell. You know, one of those, you know.
Well, yeah. Don't mind if I do.
Right. You know what Tim always said, though, the thing that upset him is that when someone called him a good old boy, he would rather be cussed out because to him, a good old boy was someone who's not only from the South, but a little slow almost to oh, bless his heart. He's a good old boy. Uh-huh. He's not as smart as everybody else, so we need to get him a Coca-Cola and have him go sit on the bench in front of the store, and he'll be fine.
Yeah, there's a condescension there. Yeah,
right. Yeah. Good old boy.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. It's like a Gary Busey type dude.
That's right.
You know, kind of got kicked in the face by something.
Or ran into the, was riding his motorcycle without his helmet at one point.
Yeah.
You like motorcycles, Pat?
I don't. I hate them. I gotta say, I really do hate them. When a motorcycle goes by and it's all you can hear for about 10 seconds, what a shithead!
Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
I'll agree.
You know,
I have a motorcycle.
when I see some guy go by on a motorcycle and you notice its motorcycle is not making that much noise,
that's like mine.
And you're stopped, but this guy stopped at a stoplight, and then when it goes green, ree! And it scares you.
Yeah,
that makes me mad.
It makes me mad too. It's like, why are you doing that? Why does this person need to? If somebody did that in a room, that would never be.
Is
just like walking screaming through a room.
That's just poor form and bad manners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If it was a car, they'd say, you've got to get that thing fixed.
That's true.
What's the problem? Yeah. And with that, it's almost the louder it sounds, almost better it is.
And then you see they loud pipes save lives. I've seen that. Well, that's too bad. I wish you were dead. offense to the motorcycle riders.
Once again, you have kind of an aggressive, your presence on stage. Can we talk about that? Because
the first time I saw his stage performance, yeah.
You hadn't met Pat.
And I want to say it was Christy, and this is a terrible, and I'm sorry, Christy, I'm throwing you under the bus here, but said something about, oh, God. And she was like, be careful, you know, like be careful.
Oh, she is so dramatic. She's here today talking, oh, I got to make sure I've got your number and everything, you know. And then around, you know, whatever, she's like, don't talk to him. It's just, it's a game. Right. But she carries it on when I'm not around.
Right.
It's like ball busting, but I'm not there for it.
But
you know?
Her point was.
No, it's just, I think that.
She was familiar with Pat's onstage persona.
And so I went and I was like, oh, you know, whatever.
And we got to the show and I introduced Jess to Pat. Pat was unbelievable. Such a gentleman is what she said.
Yeah.
A gentleman.
Oh, yeah.
We were in Bloomington. It was when you were with the Port Pistols on the bus tour.
The bus tour.
And that's not hard to be a gentleman. You know what I mean? It's really just kind of be polite.
But then you go on stage and say something like, young woman, what would you say?
About a nice young woman? Oh, gosh, I used to say all sorts of things, you know, that I don't say anymore. But it's just because I wrote new horrible things to say.
Right. Well, what's the name? The name of one of your CDs is
Goodbye Forever Fatty. Yeah. And that comes from a joke where I say I had the best blowjob I ever gotten. And I said the same thing I always say after a really good blowjob. Goodbye forever, fatty. Boy, talk about a reliable joke, though.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean? Gold. That's
Everybody loves to laugh at that and then go, God, that's just terrible that you say that.
Is that part of the fun of it for you? Or is that stuff that, because we're of the opinion, we do stuff that makes us laugh.
What is our opinion?
We like stuff that makes us laugh, right? Mm-hmm.
Generally, people do, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, but some people might look at it more scientifically. Like,
and be the jerk that has to break down the joke and be an asshole.
This will make them laugh. I'll get these rubes with this. Do you do that, or does that make you laugh?
Oh,
which one is it?
No, of course.
Of course.
And the stuff that does both, that's what you're really happy
right,
about.
Right, like, right.
Makes all these idiots laugh and me. We agree.
Yeah.
It's the best. You know, the stuff that, like, gets me, I even better than a laugh, like, on a personal level, I love a joke when I say something to somebody, a friend even, and they look at me like, are you serious? To me, that's better than a laugh.
Really?
Yeah. It's satisfying.
I don't like the practical jokes or the jokes that make me make me feel uncomfortable. Is that true? Is that part of
probably in the beginning I felt that way, but the more comedy that I see now, it's just like, how much can you get away with? I'll go to a show and want to know, what are you gonna do? I mean, I know which comedians are gonna do that, but
yeah,
who is what's the gentleman's name, the comedian that you were with? Were you at Notre Dame?
Doug Stanhope.
Yeah.
Doug will purposely, and he's been very honest. And he'll be on it.
What did he say to you side stage before you guys went on?
We're at Notre Dame, and we're doing this. Doug Stanhope and Jimmy Schubert and a couple of these outlaw comedians, supposedly. I don't know if you'd fit into that, but possibly. You might have been there now that I think about
it. No, I wasn't there, but I could. I could make it go that way.
But Doug looked at me and goes, we're at Notre Dame, right? I go, yeah. And he goes, I'm going to do two things I'm going to do tonight. I go, okay. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I'm going to make 35 people walk.
At least,
And I'm going to do the abortion material. And he did both. And I think he was a little low on the 35 people. And he was very happy with himself.
Hmm. See, I don't get that. I mean,
I don't either.
Stanhope's great, you know.
I love
widely
Doug.
Considered to be maybe the greatest comedian of his time. But I personally wouldn't enjoy that. I don't think. I don't think I would.
People walk? Or making them uncomfortable.
I'm just not looking to do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It just doesn't really
feel
good.
I understand that there's a frank discussion going on.
I'm not saying I've never done it. I mean, I've walked some rooms. Right. And then at some point, sometimes something does click over where you're just like, well, guess what? You know, it's Dixon time.
Yeah. Here's what do you expect something different from...
People get so like self-righteous. You can see them kind of like shifting their chairs and sort of like, you know, like they got their arms crossed and they look at you in this funny way. And you go, oh, well, here's what's going to happen then, you know. And then
this is a comedy show.
Yeah. And then but not to like set out like, I don't like to do anything controversial. I quit doing racial material. I quit doing anything pertaining. I don't do anything about gays. I really don't do any religious material. Nothing like that.
Really?
I'm just not into it.
Did you just get tired of it, or
did you do that much to begin with?
It's that like I did some racial stuff, yeah. But not much. And it was never racist. It just had a racial quality to it. And right. It just what I found is that it doesn't matter how not racist it is.
People hear it.
If there's somebody there, you know, who wants to feel that way about it, mm-hmm. they win. Mm-hmm. And I can't give that kind of control to anybody.
Right.
I never knew.
That's a good way to look at it.
I never knew what it was until just now. But that's what it is. Yeah.
Huh. Wow. That is interesting.
I can appreciate that.
But it's free speech and it's a free exchange of ideas and
no, it's not free.
Well,
yeah,
you can go up there and say whatever you want, but you're going to pay for it.
cuz your show might be worse.
Right.
It could be worse just because somebody had a bad day and mm-hmm. they go, "Oh, you're the one that I'm going to sit here and look at like this." You
right.
know what I mean? With my tired look, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting on this is borderline what I'm saying now. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But like the stuff that I like to talk about now that people think is so shocking is crime.
Oh, right.
Yeah. On the podcast, I talk about crime all the time. And I found that you can like laugh at different things in a podcast format
right.
than you can in a live audience
podcast,
format.
Podcasts, mm-hmm. There's always been a part of me that thought that radio probably, in my opinion, is the most personal entertainment medium, or it used to be anyway. Now everything is personal with your own personal screens and your own whatever. But radio is, it always used to be the guy on the radio and the person getting ready in the morning for work, or the person alone in their car. And that made it very, very personal. And I think the podcast has even taken another step in that you can be so frank and so honest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like,
and everyone has their own schedule or their own, like when they listen, when they download, what they're doing.
Making
you know,
it
it's
even,
not just
taking it another step and making it even more personal.
Right. And you're seeking it out. You're not just listening because it's the one
it's
that's
cascading,
on your FM dial. Yeah,
it's cascading over you and I better get on that. No, right. You can listen to it whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and usually all alone.
Mm-hmm.
Usually all alone. Yeah. I don't know if anybody, I didn't realize that until just now. This is mm-hmm.
How often do you listen to a podcast with someone else?
Realization podcast. I don't think I've ever listened to a podcast with anyone else.
And yeah. And you also have an extra intimacy of it not. There's something about it not being broadcast.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It's
right.
not being
mm-hmm.
broadcast at that moment in the world, so you don't even feel like you're listening to it at the same time as a bunch of people who aren't mm-hmm. there. You know what I mean?
That's
so
right.
That's why it's a step up from radio too.
And. It has that quality, too, that it's, what have we always said about a song that becomes too popular? It's like, oh, this is my song, and I'm listening to this by myself, and this is my artist. And then you hear it too much, and then it's the background of a Kevin Hart movie, and then it's on and on and on. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, well, it's losing quality. So with podcasts, I don't think you'll ever, even with the Serial podcast that was huge. I finished it. So, yeah, that was a bummer.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why are people losing their minds over this podcast?
It was done very well.
You're into crime. Did you listen to it?
Not yet, no. Mm. Which probably means I'm not going to.
Okay, well,
because the heat is gone.
Yeah
there's no
but
heat.
But I was curious. Well, here's what can I give an example?
Sure.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What's the name of your podcast again?
It's called New York City Crime Report. I always open it for the same way. I go, from the smallest room in New York City comes the show that gives you a reason to live. I'm going to do my podcast on your show.
Okay, go.
So, so many people hate the police, but that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that not enough people hate firemen. Now, there's a couple of young fellas out west who might be leaning that way. An FDNY captain is accused of having oral sex with two boys related to him, both under the age of 14.
Oh.
Now, in the man's defense, the incident occurred on September 12th. We all have our own way of dealing with the pain of that anniversary. Some people drink, do drugs. Some people seek the love and support of their family. In the same-sex underage mouths and genitals of their extended families. Never forget. Also, this happened in Hollywood. That shows you how evil that place is. Man goes out to the coast, a proud Staten Island fireman, after just a couple of days in Hollywood, sucking underage cock.
Oh.
Well, he probably promised him a movie deal or something. But maybe he was confused. In California, oral sex is actually defined differently. than it is. It's defined differently. It's virtually the same as it is in New York, except oral sex in California comes with a slice of avocado.
Oh my God! And that and this is all true.
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah. I mean, if it wasn't, it wouldn't be worth anything.
No,
you know what I mean?
Right. Right.
It has to be 100% true, and it is.
Oh. So do you have like a the weirdest Google search alerts you've ever seen in your life?
I would assume if you found that story.
It's you go to the New York Post and you read it.
Yeah.
The Daily News, it's there. I mean, this is in the tabloid press in New York City every single day.
Okay, now does it have a name now? The tabloid press. They're actually coming out and calling the New York Post the tabloid press, or are they?
Well, I would call it the Post and the Daily News the tabloid press.
Right.
Because the tabloid size.
An august organization.
Well, let me tell you something. Oh, God, they're the worst. The New York Times is the worst. It's not worth reading.
Yeah.
Because it's toothless.
It's it's like having vanilla ice cream. Almost, with a side of vanilla.
With chunks of vanilla.
It's chunks of vanilla.
It's sort of like, it's written so meticulously and wordy and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like written from this... Like, say you're reading a story about, you know, some burnt out neighborhood or something, you know, a fire, whatever, you know. Randolfo is 6 years old tomorrow, you know. It always starts with this like personal appeal kind of thing. It's like I like an inverted pyramid, you know. If I quit reading the story about three quarters of the way down, that should be okay. I like it written on a third grade level. I'm an old school. You don't
bury the lead with your news.
I get it
right out there. It's all right there in the first paragraph.
You get it as often as possible. As often as possible. Yeah.
Do you read any of the Weekly World News or the Inquirer?
No,
it's like
nothing
that?
Like that. You don't need it. You know what I mean? You don't like stuff like that. Like News of the Weird. None of that. It's
no,
all
when
just...
you that I see what you mean when you say that you don't really need to do right. What crime in itself that made me pretty uncomfortable.
Did it really?
Yeah. No, see, I mean,
it made me uncomfortable, too. Yeah, I mean, well, I think the age of
everybody
involved.
That's probably your
It's possible I've become desensitized to some of these things.
That's probably true. Do you watch True Crime? Is that show that you watch on...
The HBO thing with
True Detective?
True Detective. With Matthew McConaughey.
Do I watch it? I've seen a couple of episodes.
I heard it's pretty dark. Is that true?
It's pretty. Yeah,
yeah, there's, I don't know.
Well, we just did our first NYC Crime Awards, NYC Crime Awards for 2014, because I thought, why shouldn't we get to recycle material? So we did all our. We had categories were like outstanding suicide, and outstanding achievement in misogyny, outstanding achievement in child murder. Do the nominees, and there's a winner.
Right.
And the winner of the outstanding suicide was a guy in the Bronx who tied a chain, looped it around his neck.
Yeah.
And then he attached the chain to a post. And he got into a Honda Pilot and just stepped on the gas.
And that's how he.
That's all. Yeah.
Decapitated.
And that's a lot of pickup in a Honda Pilot. You know what I mean? I had a lot of faith in that car.
You would think it wouldn't. That was a plot point. In the latest American Horror Story.
Really?
It was all about a sideshow and a circus and a group of freaks. And the bearded lady supposedly did that to end her life. But it turned out somebody else actually murdered her in the show, but they made it look like that's what she chose to do. Exactly what you described.
You say that, I think of like when the whole tying the string around your tooth and slamming the door shut. Same concept.
That is the same concept, only you do it with your whole head.
Right.
Yeah. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. Yeah. This is where a God is my co-pilot bumper sticker it really achieves maximum irony.
You think you have Jesus on the dashboard there? The little... Good Lord.
Leather interior for easy cleanup. The Pilot, I'm telling you, it was a good choice for this. But this is the best part. The body
Pilot is the SUV, actually. The Pilot's the SUV.
His body flew through the windshield.
Wow.
And landed in a twisted, headless heap.
Wow.
So the head, neck up, stayed in the car.
Uh-huh.
The rest of it, the heavier part, well, there that's physics. And this is a lesson for...
Well, you know what? You're very right about that, and I can even explain it in terms of physics. because you have it involves principles of acceleration, which
right.
is measured in the international system of units. That's meter per second.
Meter per
second.
Mass. You have mass.
And then, yeah, principles of force.
Force
measured
right.
in newtons.
Not
then
a man's
head.
Yeah.
That's measured in pounds.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I actually have this written down.
Pounds?
Yeah.
So did he hit something? I mean, I assume that his
parked vehicle.
Another parked vehicle. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the body flew out, and then he was...
Well, now that took some...
Like, what? How do you come to that? How do you decide this
what
is
if you
how
hit
I'm
the car before the chain, the length of the chain and the length of how far you're driving? See, he had to
measure twice and cut once.
You know, we laugh about this on the Bob and Tom show sometimes, and maybe we shouldn't, but this is the road we're down. If you're going to be a serial
anything.
Murderer,
stalking,
I mean, it's not a lazy man's pursuit. I mean, and this guy
mm-hmm.
yeah.
really wanted to end
yeah.
his life.
It's true. It really, and then you know, this was widely covered, and one news source said that they couldn't figure out a motive. It said, moreover, police do not have a motive in the suicide, and that's important because... You got to identify the motive. I mean, clearly he had the means and the opportunity, but if you can't establish a motive, there's a chance this guy could walk.
Okay.
That's
you answered
right.
Okay, you thought that
no
was
motive.
As ridiculous as I did.
No motive, yeah. no murder.
Motive?
Yeah.
Motive? He didn't want to live.
Yeah,
what else do you need to know?
He
like super nuclearly didn't want to live. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, they call it the coward's way out, right? But
I mean, I
don't know.
I've been down.
Got more
yeah,
balls
but this
than
was
I did.
A hard-working...
Yeah,
he made
a
decision. He stuck to it.
The making light of it, but you know, we all know someone who's killed themselves. Okay,
yeah,
you don't get to take it personally that we're laughing at this story. That's what bothers me, I guess.
Well, and the thing is that I don't think that I detect zero disrespect for this guy in
no.
this whole conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he really clearly wanted to die. We're marveling at that and his ability to plan it, arrange it, execute
mm-hmm.
it. You get one shot.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know.
Because if he made it through all this, he probably wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't try it again, I wouldn't think.
No. 51 years old.
My wow.
Gosh.
Yeah, that was in the Boogie D, birthplace of hip-hop, and the Botanical G.
Do you like hip-hop? Is that your music of
choice? No, it's not. I love blues.
Oh, you like the blues?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
I'm a big Muddy Waters fan
mm-hmm.
as a teenager. Howlin' Wolf, Sonny Boy Williamson, Little Walter, all that kind of stuff. Chess Records, you know,
yep.
in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
And I got into a little bit of jazz, and I'm a huge Stones fan.
Oh, sure.
Okay. The Rolling Stones are the greatest band ever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
more or less
musically. That's I guess that pretty much has me covered.
I feel like I keep asking you these questions. Have you seen? Have you seen? But if you are a big Stones fan, have you seen the documentary?
Oh, 20 feet from stardom.
20 feet from
40
stardom.
Feet from stardom. I don't know how far they
I
are.
I say
from
40
stardom.
Feet from fame, and I always say.
But it's about the backup singers.
Oh,
and they do.
They have a and I apologize, and I don't remember what the lady's name was. It was the backup singer on.
On Gimme Shelter.
Gimme Shelter, yes.
You had a miscarriage as a result of
I didn't,
Mary Wells or
Mary,
something.
Mary, it could have been. It's Mary
yeah,
something.
That's possible. But when they tell that story of her coming in and just belting it out, and they were all just like, fuck.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
They.
I didn't know she miscarried, though. I don't know if they cover that part in the...
It's mentioned in the Wikipedia entry.
Really?
Yeah. And you know, if you've heard versions of that song prior to her singing on it, did you ever hear like a really early version of Gimme Shelter? It's a different song.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Mary Clayton.
Mary Clayton.
Clayton. Mary Clayton,
yeah.
Yes.
They have this, you know how like she sings, it's like really like it's up there, it's soulful and everything. And
right.
they have this kind of like, Rame, Maida.
I bet it is a different song.
That was my favorite scene in the movie. But they have the, unintentionally, but maybe intentionally, it takes on a... There were a group of background singers who had to participate in Sweet Home Alabama.
Mm.
And they were like, I'm not sure if we want to participate in Lynyrd Skynyrd and the Rebel Flag
sure.
and something about Alabama being a sweet home when it's actually. And a couple of the background singers' husbands told them, no, you have to do this because it's going to end up being
mm-hmm.
an incredibly evening statement as far as racial equality goes and how much the singers are adding to this song. You know what I mean. And that's exactly how it ended up. But in the Gimme Shelter part there, the best scene in it for me is Mary Clayton's explaining what went on, and she said her hair was in curlers.
It was the middle of the night, yeah. Oh.
And they play back the her segment of the song, and she's listening to it and smiling. But then they show Mick Jagger listening to it, and the look on his face, and he automatically goes back to that time, and it's just, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it. It's just wonderful. It's just really moving, and everybody.
It's a great documentary, actually. Yeah,
it sounds great. You know, I don't think the Stones get respected enough for their musicianship and their for how much they care about it. You know, they really did. Well, they did for a long time. I don't know. You listen to the last few things. Who knows? But you know, like they're eternally talented. And you know, people joke about how old the Stones are and how they're, but you know, you run around for 3 hours. You know, you go run around for 3 hours.
Right.
That's hard.
Just get up and get up and let your dogs out and sit back down for 3 hours. It's an ordeal. Believe me, it's an ordeal.
I believe you.
Yeah. Did you hear the part about where Keith Richard dreamed, fell asleep on a plane, and came up with the guitar part for
Satisfaction?
Satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He woke up and he. Does anybody know the, no, that's Brown Sugar. I forget. See, everybody knows a Stones guitar.
Sure.
Maybe we could play some Stones and have them there. See, our theory here on the podcast is that we play a section of music, and when their attorneys contact us to stop playing the music, we asked them if they'll be on the podcast. It's only worked once with Bob Schneider, and he's turned out to be a really good friend, and that's the music we play mostly.
So Bob Schneider?
Bob Schneider. He's from Austin, Texas.
Oh.
Dark-haired guy. He used to go out with he's most famous, I guess, for dating Sandra Bullock, but he's very happy now in another relationship. I'm not sure who it's with, but I'm sure he's very happy.
Yeah, I mean, Sandra Bullock doesn't seem like she'd be all that dateable to me. I mean that with all my heart. Sandra, if you're listening, tough shit.
No, I understand. No, she probably isn't that way, but having the girl next door, she's everybody's sweetheart, Sandra Bullock, right?
Supposed to be America's sweetheart, yes.
But cynical guys look at, boy, that has got to be a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Because somewhere deep down, a guy who really thinks about it goes, she knows she's America's sweetheart. That's going to be something.
Well, what is that terrible thing that men always say? Somebody somewhere is tired of fucking her.
Uh-huh. Show me any woman in the history of the world, and I'll show you the guy that's tired of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and she's not that great to begin with. Let's face it. She's really not. We all got kind of Sandra Bullock crazy in the 90s.
Sure.
Can we admit that?
Yes.
And then it ended up being like, oh, wait. You know, it was around the time she started making those FBI movies.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go, oh, wait, that's okay. It's a character. But I don't think she's all that. I don't like the girls that are too down with everything.
Right.
You know?
Too much of a guy's girl? Is that what you're talking
about? No, stand for something.
Yeah, yeah. Making a point of like, you know, American League, whatever.
DH. I got two words for you in the American League. DH, okay?
I don't need to hear my girlfriend having that argument, you know?
Where are you personally?
Where am I?
Where are you personally as far as any relationships go? What's happening there?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm just having a good time. I know a couple of really nice girls who, you know, I mean, maybe someday if everything goes well, you know. But no, I'm single. I'm single right now. I've been single since June, since I got rid of this last one. Boy, what a nightmare. I mean, love, I swear to God, I was so in love with this girl, right?
Yeah,
I thought I was
going
to be with her forever.
Uh-huh.
I really did. I thought, you know what I used to say? As I said, you're the most sexy and beautiful woman I've ever seen. Not dated. Seen.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Not only that, but you have everything it takes to get everything that you want in your career of choice, which is, of course, is comedy, you know, because as a professional comedian, that's the kind of women that are attracted to me, amateur comedians. And so I said, you can do anything you want. You're super intelligent. I said, I look up to you. And, in fact, I've never loved anybody like this. I've been married twice. I want the last thing to be before I die. The last thing I see to be your face.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then she'd be like, why didn't you put me on fourth?
Oh.
Yeah. And then come home drunk with my roommate at 3 a.m. You know what I mean? It's like it just not doing anything, but always like gesturing towards stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, and I
like,
get you.
It just
right.
Was too much. You know what I mean? Too much point making with the passive aggressive behavior and the right. things. You see.
And how much, or what was the age difference you said?
She was 15. I am 44.
She was 15.
So at the time, she was 12, I guess.
Yeah,
no, sure. She's 30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 13-year age difference. That's doable.
Sure.
That should be doable. I mean, you guys got at least that, right?
25. Yeah.
25. 24 on a good day. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
who's counting? But my point is... Yeah, that's you were sure, right?
I was so sure, and I mean, she was. I mean, let me be even more frank. She was beautiful. No, I would wake up in the morning when she did, right? Because mm-hmm. she had a day job. I would walk her to work. I walk her to the train, which wasn't far, but it wasn't close. It was 25 minutes out of my day to walk her there and back. And I would do it in the rain. I did it in a foot of snow, driving rain. Take video of her walking. I did it not to be nice. I did it because I wanted to spend the extra time with her.
Right.
I just wanted to see her come to life.
Yeah.
In the morning. Yeah. It's funny
Let me ask you this. But given your comedy personality, as far as on stage, and this guy that we're hearing about. Are you comfortable with people knowing that you're this way when you're not on stage?
Yes. In fact, this explains how I am on stage. This, okay. to me, completely informs it. You know what I mean? And you go, oh, wait, that's why he's so pissed off. Because he's real nice. And then fucking whores fuck it up. He's fucking whores.
Yeah.
So this is the one you met her parents, right?
I did. And they genuinely did not like me. The dad was okay. It was the mom. And that's what I just, you know, that's the power dynamic. She was the one I was supposed to suck her off, you know?
Right.
And I was talking to her dad. We were at dinner. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at him like, you know, I'm looking at you.
Let me even be more, afraid. Mm-hmm. And I've had them all over the world.
I got her lessons. And his wife's sitting there next to him, and she's, wah, 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 and she starts talking, squawking. She squawked. She didn't talk. Mm-hmm. She squawked.
Right.
And I just looked at her for a second, and I went back to my conversation with her dad.
Right.
And then when we wrapped that up, I looked back over her, and she's still looking at me, and she's got that eyebrow cocked.
Right.
I'm like, well, that's the end of that.
Right.
You know what I mean? You could tell that was the only, that's all it took. And you know, and she had legitimate shit. What she used to say to drive a wedge, you don't know if you're going to want to have kids. He doesn't want to have kids. I just worry that you're going to like be, you know.
Planting a seed.
That was her
You're
going to
regret
right.
it. Yeah. You know?
Stirring it up.
And then once we break up, oh, I guess she never talks about that shit anymore.
Right.
You know, the having kids thing. Ah, who cares? You're young. It's a familial thing. It's like the guy in their family is you don't trust him. He's mean, and you it's okay to lie to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to, you know, he's just not a good dude, and that's just kind of like what she grew up with, that understanding, and it wasn't even true. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah,
but like. Her mom's
just been in her ear her whole life.
Yeah, and she's an only child, and she did everything she could to, like, she just guarded those relationships jealously and didn't want the dad involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he was like a prince.
Right.
Maybe sometimes he did get too mad. I don't know. Wasn't there. Don't care.
Right.
Right.
You know, I just know that it, like, she's one of those people who consults with her girlfriends on everything.
Mm. Right.
I've had a few of those.
Yeah.
They like to go, oh, well, Karen thinks you're like, like, what? That's wrong to begin with. You know?
So who's Karen? Who? Have I met Karen?
Oh, she thinks I'm controlling.
Right. Karen,
well, go to your fucking room.
I've never been, I've always been, I don't know if embarrassed is the word. And I don't, maybe it's my dad being raised by my father that made me go, don't talk about your business with other people. My father always said, just don't talk about it. It's not anybody's business. Don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And I'm okay. So I would never, my girlfriends, when we got engaged, people were upset that I didn't call and say, I'm in New York and he asked me to marry him, and because I don't wanna. Like, if you figure it out, next time you see me, I have a giant fucking ring. Yes, mm-hmm. That's how you can know that I'm engaged.
Yeah. Boom.
But I don't know. Like, and if you wouldn't have made me call my parents, I wouldn't have.
That's a good one right there. Yeah, you got all to yourself. A little privacy. Nice. Yeah. That's nice.
I really do. But like you said, it's the mother thing. I think that's the difference between being raised by a mother and a father a lot of the times, too.
Oh.
I'm so fortunate in that aspect that my dad just... No, I don't mean this mean towards mothers, women in general. I am a women's studies major. That was my major in college. Doing a lot with it, obviously.
I heard you in your brain. You didn't say a word. After she said that, you said, uh-oh.
No.
Click.
Well, you know, you're
dial
young.
Dial tones. Remember dial tones?
Here's what I do remember dial tones. Click. I have come, because I was an only child, and it's not tragic or sad or anything. It's just a fact. I was really kind of by myself from, I don't know, 7 or 8 until, you know, I was 18 and I moved out and I found friends, sort of. But, I mean, my mom and dad were there, but they were very young. I mean, my mother was 17 when she had me, and you know, they were children themselves when I was the age where I should have gotten attention and had been parented. So I went the other way for a very long time in my life. I wanted to share lots of stuff with everybody,
mm-hmm.
but now I'm back to the point now where it's like I want to be on my own and be quiet and But then I start to beat myself up. Who was telling me? Oh, that damn Scott. He was telling me that. Here's why you don't have any friends.
Who was telling you that?
Scott.
Potastic?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, you should listen to the things he says.
No, but I mean,
that's a great lead, by the way.
But no, yeah. Hang on. But
whatever they say after that is just like shut up.
Thank you, Pat.
You're right.
But there's a part of you that says, well, a part of me. I'm mm-hmm. sorry, a part of me and who I am off the air. Why don't I have any? Why don't I have more friends? Why don't
because
I spend
they disappoint
a lot of time?
You.
Why don't I spend a lot of time with people? I went to a movie with a friend of mine Wednesday night, and it was or Tuesday night. It was a great time. We had a good time. But I won't see him or talk to him for like a week or two. I mean,
no, but that's fine too. That's a good place for you to be friends with someone because you don't have. They're not asking you for anything. You're in a position.
No, that guy never. Yeah,
that friends are constantly asking you for things or friends, however you want to air quote
but I really,
that.
Do you have like when you go back to New York? Do you have like 6 or 7 guys you're going to hang out and watch the NFC Championship game with?
I don't. I have. You know. I mean, I could. You know.
You could. I couldn't. I couldn't call 6 or 7 guys.
Yes,
there's guys that I could jump on with. Or like the Super Bowl. I know where I'm watching the Super Bowl. You know, I got the only guys I got are the guys I play cards with on Mondays. I go play cards, and they're all older than me, and we're not really good friends. In fact, we don't even like each other. You know, that's what makes everything so funny. You know, it's like I truly am happy to take 100 of your dollars. That is the best thing. Yes, thank you. I got a few friends, but I'm not. I guess I'm kind of like you, and I really don't. I'm not one of those people.
Is it because you get to a point in your life where you have seen so much and been through so much, and seen? Oh well, here comes this guy. And right or wrong,
you're already having the conversation.
I'm already having the conversation.
Before it's happened.
Oh, this guy looks like somebody that I like to hang. Oh, well, he does that.
And
well,
you're a
so
horrible
much
judge of character.
It's like the Greg Warren bit where he goes, oh, Kevin, you got to meet Kevin. He's a good friend of mine. And the first thing he goes, oh, hi, you're Greg Warren. I'm Kevin. I like to play hard. I like to work hard. I like to play hard. And Greg goes, well, I'm going to hate Kevin. And it's yeah. You know, and you're so sure of your feelings and you're so set in your ways of how you do things and how you know you're going to feel that it's just like, Why even bother? Is that sad and awful?
You really are that confident in how you feel about someone that you know. Like, are you still in love with this girl that you broke up with?
I'm not.
You're not. But you were not at the time.
I suffered all summer. It was the worst. I walked around with my head down, looking at the street, you know, counting the cracks in the sidewalk. And she lives only a block and a half away.
Oh.
I mean, it was really bad. It was really, really bad. It's still bad sometimes because there's a void. There's that. It's just like, it's shaped like her, you know, and then you'll never get that back again. And she'll never know how great what we had was and how stupid she was to squander it the way she did. I mean, there's no way she can get that, you know. I mean, like, because she loved me too.
Yeah.
She loved me deeply, and I loved her deeply. What we shared, the connection we had, cannot be replicated. It's broken forever, and that is the shittiest thing of all, you know. But it's at some point, you just have to start shoveling vaginas onto it, you know. Lesser vaginas. Tamp it down.
Much shovel lesser more vaginas. Yeah, okay.
And then eventually, you know, you get another gem. You know, I mean, I've been married twice, and I really like the one before her, too. And I like the one before her. So, there stands to reason there will be one that I like better than this one, you know. But I like anybody better than her, kind of currently, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's just the process of getting over somebody. I'm sure we'll be friends in a year.
Are you always friends with your exes?
Not always. The first ex-wife doesn't want anything to do with me, and I wouldn't want anything to do with her either. But she's somebody who really messed up her looks.
Ooh.
Yeah, she had red hair, beautiful, porcelain skin, like a doll. And then she started going to the tanning bed. And like putting on too much like goth, like kind of like eyeliner and shit. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? Dyed her hair black. It was just, it's atrocious. But I'm, you know, my second wife and I are good buddies. See her every once in a while. And you talk about somebody who doesn't like to hang with people.
Yeah.
I mean, she really doesn't like to hang with people.
Has no friends at all?
Only child. Very few friends that, you know, she's close with. I might be the best friend she has, in a way.
Huh.
Because I've known her longest.
Yeah.
But I'm friends with Carmen.
Right.
We're tight, I guess. Yeah. I still laugh with her. She's so pretty. And well, this other one, maybe eventually. But the one that I had prior to Carmen, I'd like to be friends with her, but she's one of those who, once she got a new guy, that's it.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah, the new guy,
like married all the way, and probably has kids by now and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Well, this is 2007. Mm-hmm. I get in long-term stuff. I'm a good man. I am a good man.
You know what you are? You're a man. That's
somebody
right.
Somebody told me that you said this about me. It was
oh god.
Somebody said that you said that it was the greatest difference between on stage persona and off stage personality was me.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's, absolutely.
Yeah, he did. I know he said that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You almost said it like sitting here talking to me. So I feel like
you could bring it up.
Said a similar thing.
No, I have two categories. Two categories I feel comfortable mentioning publicly. The biggest difference between first appearance on the Bob and Tom Show and now an unbelievably wonderful Bob and Tom Show guest every time that he's on is Dan Cummins. First appearance on the show.
Awful.
Awful. Not good. Now, not only is he great on the Bob and Tom Show,
are friends. Yeah.
More successful, and I think he's coming into town next week.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it. But you, no doubt in my mind, the biggest difference between on stage and off stage is Pat Dixon.
Huh.
Well, and you kind of triggered that.
But I think that I don't know, somehow I think it was exaggerated to me the first time that I saw you, because when I saw you, I was just like, yeah, that's what he's doing. That's his job. He's on stage. And then I didn't expect you to be I didn't think you were an asshole on stage, and you were polite.
Well, I didn't
think
he was an asshole on stage either. I thought he was very frank and a little bit misogynist.
Christy Lee really, she really blows it up. She used to be a little more.
You know, she said that this morning when Tom said Pat Dixon will be our guest later this morning, and Christy said on the air, "Uh-oh."
Yeah. What? Get off your foot. That's ridiculous. That's I find that ridiculous. Oh, boy.
Oh,
yeah. He's going to come in here saying things.
Things about men should own women. I know it.
No.
There's all to me to make a joke like this. Like, say, okay, what if I say to you, like, uh-huh. I've been with some women who were not only chubby, but gigantic,
okay.
and just gigantic fat bitches. I'm mm-hmm. talking huge. I'm talking the kind. I mean, 140, 145 pounds. Right? So you guys laugh because that's right. the surprise, you know? Yeah,
yeah. Right.
And so, like,
comedy's like boxing. It's the counterpunch, surprise counterpunch. Right. right. Yeah.
And some people will hear that. And, oh no. But you have to write a joke like that, you have to understand that that's not the truth.
Right.
Right.
And people kind of forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you hear something that's like straight up offensive and stupid, chances are it's that way for a reason. You're satirizing that, you know, what if somebody said this,
right.
you know?
Do you get a lot of hecklers?
No.
No?
No. No, I don't.
Do you deal with hecklers when you do?
I talk to the crowd a lot.
Yeah.
I do a lot of, like, because it just, it's, you know, like, you do less material that way, you know?
I get it.
I wouldn't be able to get on stage in a comedy show without talking to the crowd. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that I could either. I it's become a real habit, and it's a big part of what I do, you know? And I like it. I enjoy it. I think
it's
club comedy.
It's exhilarating for you, too, because you find new things and are excited about things
yeah.
that you didn't know that you knew that were funny, right?
Yeah.
You
find stuff that you say, like, just,
it makes you feel funny.
Yeah. And in the moment, you know, sometimes you surprise yourself and it's cool. And like, I had a lady the other night who I'm not gonna, like, go through the whole scenario, but yeah, they were talking. They were just sitting there talking. That's what I would get more than hecklers. People that are just, and she's like, well, I haven't seen this guy in a year. You know, cut me some slack. I'm like, mm-hmm. well, you've never seen me. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm
That's
up here on
right.
stage with lights and a microphone. What does it take? Mm. You know? And then I look down and she's got a BlackBerry. And I'm like, well, you shouldn't have let me see that.
Oh, I didn't know they were still in business, right? I heard they're coming back. Didn't someone buy them?
Yeah.
Like Google Chrome or something?
Mm. Fortunately, you weren't in the room to undercut my dogging her out for her burner BlackBerry. But, you know, yeah, it's I love crowd work. I love talking to people and finding out about what the hell's going on in a room. And there's always something funny. And if it's not funny, it seems funny for some reason.
Right.
You know? We work in the same place. We're a hotel. And everybody's laughing. And you're like, all right, I guess that's funny. Yeah. You guys say so.
Do you go back for the reunions in Southeast Tennessee?
Like high school?
Like high school reunions and stuff, or college? Or?
I've been to one. And it was the 25th. And the reason I did it was because a friend of mine was sick. And he said, we don't get together, you know, mm-hmm. too off. He's since passed. Excuse me. So I was really glad that I did it. But what I did was, instead of going to the official reunion and stuff like that, we kind of said, well, let's make our own.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing, some other group was doing something else. I mean, the kids with money, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I had a comedy show. I held a show at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga.
Oh.
And I charged everybody to come to it. And I made like $900 off my reunion.
I like it.
That's it was the good. Best.
Yeah,
yeah, I
right.
put a little slideshow together, you know. And
oh, really?
Yeah, and I even got other people to like you know, there's obviously people who play the piano really well. Oh, man, please, that would be awesome. You play, you do this, you
yeah.
say a few words. Next thing you know, I'm hardly doing anything. You know,
and
the club's happy. They get the 2-item minimum. It was really fun, but it was really good to be with people, you know, from all those years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
To reunite with, you know, people. It's funny what the situations, because everybody looks so old,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah. I look pretty good.
I was going to say, I know I don't, but to me, I see these guys I went to high school with, and I immediately think, my God, he looks so old.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't look old to me. I really don't. I really don't.
But
I'm sure
you,
I do.
If you walked into your high school reunion and people hadn't seen you since senior year, they wouldn't know it was you. He looks so different. He has gotten so much better looking with age. It's ridiculous.
I had the bad adult cinema
mustache.
He
doesn't look like the same person.
The feathered hair, the big high feathered hair.
Oh, man.
And yeah. I have lost some weight, but I was really beefy and... Anyway, my point is, Pat, what's the name of your podcast?
My point is, it's never too late for a school shooting.
Oh, geez. There. There's Pat Dixon. There he is.
Well, I mean, that's why I thought you were going, because you were talking about how unhappy you were. My podcast is called New York City Crime Report.
New York City Crime Report. And it's on iTunes.
It's on iTunes.
And you're PatDixon.com?
PatDixonNYC.com. PatDixonNYC. Now, look, my podcast is great. Here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't make fun of victims ever. It doesn't make fun of it's not like that. If people think it's like that, it's not. It's like I said before, you know, the humor derives from the details and shit like that, and it's something that I really take seriously, and I truly do think it's a one of a kind show, and it never, like, this has been the best conversation I've ever had on a podcast, probably
right now.
Oh. Yeah, because it's like, it seems, because I'm in it a lot, you know.
But it's honest, right? And it's real and it's honest.
Exactly. It doesn't just degenerate into just like chatter, which, you know, you see a lot in podcasts and stuff like that. And my podcast is written for the most part the whole way through. I'll have another guest and stuff like that. And we kind of go back and forth. But for the most part, it stays on script. And, you know, we get where we're going. You know, I mean, there's mm-hmm. jokes in it and you can count on it. That's what I like to think.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I hope you get a chance to check it out.
Here's the thing about podcasts, especially, and maybe, I'm going to say this, Pat's podcast in particular, listen to it, and odds are you're going to like it. And if you don't like it, or are embarrassed by listening to it, or you're put off by it, nobody's going to know but you, right?
Yeah.
That's because it's but odds are you're going to like it, and you're going to want to listen again.
Mm-hmm.
All right, PatDixonNYC.com. Where are you next week?
I'm back in New York. I can be seen in New York City almost every week. I have a show there every Monday at Caroline's called Desperation Tonight. See? I knew you'd get that.
Why isn't that on HBO or Showtime or...
That's great.
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
I mentioned that to one of your ladies in the office. Yeah, I got a show called Desperation Tonight. She goes, that's great!
Another reason we need to go to New York, we'll go see Pat, we'll go see Nick Griffin, mm-hmm. we'll go see Desperation Tonight.
Please.
Do you see Nick every
I see him. I see him. Yeah.
I see
Nick around. Yeah.
You know, Nick likes popsicles. Have you heard the popsicle story?
Mm-mm. No.
How many popsicles did he eat? Like 30?
He had a
in
lot.
In one sitting?
Yeah, something like that.
Ask him about
that. Was he trying to prove a point?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Here's our exit music this time. How about that? You know this song.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jess.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Pat Dixon.
Thank you. And thank you.
And I forgot to say this the last time for the first podcast 123 times at the end of the podcast, the off-the-air podcast. Tell everybody. Good night, everybody!
You know that we take away, we deliver to open 24 hours, baby.
I feel like I got some things off my chest.